Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs.
Issue 105.
Graham Flanagan of Business Insider. Matt Scalise, editor of FilmNerds.com.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Hey, Graham.
Hey, so I just got the notification that the new trailer, the first extended trailer for Spielberg's The BFG, just dropped on the internet. And very exciting. Started it up and got real excited when I saw that old school Amblin logo right off the top. And then I got to be honest, what I saw for the next 2 minutes after the initial sequence, which was basically what we saw in the first teaser trailer, what I saw is a little concerning. That being said, I cannot wait to see it, and I will be there on probably the first day that it comes out later this year. But I'll ask you what you thought in a minute, but I initially am just very concerned about the route that they've gone in terms of the design of the characters in this. They're just obvious CGI characters, but mixed in with real people, real human actors. And my initial reaction is, why didn't you go one way or the other? Why, if you want to have these kind of crazy broad CGI characters, why not make the entire world CGI like you did with Tintin, or like Zemeckis did with Christmas Carol and his other motion capture CGI animated films? Or why didn't you just make the creatures photo real? You know, combining forced perspective and more realistic creature effects. And right now, it just seems like you got sort of a hodgepodge mismatch going on that, for me, in my initial viewing, has me concerned. What about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not impressed with what I saw, but I mean, I'm probably coming at it from a different angle. I definitely, you know, I like movies, and so I like most of the things that Steven Spielberg has made, but I don't see him as this infallible figure that can never make a bad movie. I feel like he's made a couple that I would call bad that I didn't like. And, you know, I don't think that I don't think this looks like a bad movie. It just doesn't, I don't really understand why I would be interested in it. And I don't really think my kids would either. So, you know, that's another angle I'm coming at this from is I've got two kids that love going to the movies, but they do have at least, you know, some sort of standards by which they judge what they want to see or not. And, you know, I would say this doesn't really look like it would be up the alley of my 4-year-old or my 7-year-old.
That seems strange to me. Okay, so again, my only gripe with this is the aesthetic choice of making the creatures look the way they look while mixing them with a fully realistic world.
But
with real
that
actors.
That has a lot to do with whether kids are going to be interested in a movie or not. Really, I think the aesthetics are huge for kids in making that determination as to whether they're going to be able to keep their attention focused on a movie or not.
Well, to me, I'm still...
The whole movie looks like it takes place at night. It's like the whole... Everything we see in the trailer is dark, dimly lit. You know, it's not, I understand there's a degree of spookiness, and some kids do like that, and that's fine. And that sort of fits in with, you know, the Roald Dahl thing, which my daughter loves Roald Dahl books. She's read a couple of them. But I think visually, and movies are a visual medium, you've got to give kids some reason to be sort of enthralled and excited about what they're watching. And just nothing really jumped out at me in this as something that I would think, like, one of my kids would be, like, wrapped up in this. It's these weird, gangly-looking, ugly characters that, whether they go through a nice emotional arc or not, I think it would be difficult to make them iconic and interesting to kids.
Well, for me, it, you know, as in terms of it being appealing to kids, I think the story itself should be appealing, you know, about a little girl being whisked away to this magical land of giants. You know, if I know this is the generation of kids 10 and under that have been raised on iPads and iPhones, and they don't share that same innocent sense of wonder that, you know, previous generations had, you know, even though that we were raised on CNCs and VCRs, you know, I still think that the story itself has appeal. And again, I will be there and I want to see what happens in the story. And I want to see Spielberg, you know, going back to a movie that's absolutely for kids. In that, I'm still absolutely intrigued and optimistic because just from a story perspective, that, you know, that's interesting to me that you think that when kids see this and maybe think that the, you know, they see, real actors, and therefore when they see the cartoonish giants that they might say that looks fake or that doesn't look real.
Yeah, I don't know.
That makes them not want to see it. That's very interesting.
I don't think it's about fakeness or not. They know it's all fake. I mean, I don't think there's much of an issue with that with kids. I don't think they really care about this idea of authenticism or whatever. I think what they care about is whether it's interesting to their eyes and their brains. And, you know, to me, some of that, it doesn't all have to look like, you know, the Lego movie, but I think there's some degree of, it has to look different from what they're used to seeing in their day-to-day life. And, you know, I think while these characters are definitely different looking, I don't know that they are characters that I would see my kids as like forming kind of an attachment to and sort of like talking about later. I think they would find the concept of giants to be interesting. And maybe if they sort of give this movie a shot to prove to them that there's a lot of, you know, interesting gags that Spielberg plays with the idea of a giant holding a little girl and carrying her around everywhere, those are things that might grab a hold of them. I'm sure that will happen because that's how Steven Spielberg makes movies. But I think just from a very quick glance, you know, from a marketing standpoint, I think it would be really hard to get my kids anyway interested in the concept of this movie. I think you're going to have to sell it, you know, based on kids being brought to see it and having a good time when they see it.
Well, I mean, I think that the way you're going to find out, maybe, or one way you can find out is maybe telling your kids the story of the BFG or you know, like giving your daughter the book to read and then saying, well, there's a movie coming out based on this. Would you like to watch it? And I'm curious as to, you know, if you told your son who's younger than your daughter, like, hey, so there's this. Hey, man, you good?
Yeah, I'm here. Did I lose you?
And it's this loud noise happened.
Oh, on my end?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no, I'm not doing anything.
That's weird. So I think that, you know, even if you told your son, you know, like there's this story about this orphan girl who got, you know, whisked away to this land of giants, and see how he reacted and ask him if he wanted to see a movie about that? I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah.
I feel like most kids would, because that sounds magical and amazing. Well, but again, this is a different generation of kids.
It definitely is, Graham. And I think part of what I've started to see about people around me when I go to movies and people I talk to, I think there's some degree to which parents take their kids to a movie because of what it's rated, who made it, and what the poster looks like, and
mm-hmm.
maybe to some extent the trailer, but
mm-hmm.
I think people are less discerning than ever about the choices they make about going to the movies, especially people with kids, because it's an easy afternoon entertainment for a kid, right? That's why everything that Pixar and Disney make basically is an automatic success if it comes out of their animation studio. And pretty much anybody else that makes an animated movie, those that have not been as consistently successful, but they usually do pretty good. And I think it's kind of a slam dunk because all you need to do is show, you know, a bright color palette that grabs everybody's attention and show them that it's kid appropriate. and they're there. And I think, I guess what I'm saying is, I think for Spielberg, if you look at his last several movies, it's been really interesting that his movies, in my opinion, he's made some really good movies, and they're really fascinating, but they've been kind of inherently difficult to market. You know, I think Bridge of Spies was a movie we almost joked about how boring it looked on paper. What is that? Bridge of Spies. Be familiar with that one?
No.
I mean, it was a movie that I loved that movie, by the way. I thought it was fantastic. But on paper, that's a very difficult job for a studio to market. And I think it's kind of almost like Spielberg's taste at this point, whether he's making really good movies or not, he is choosing projects that are inherently difficult to market almost. And I wonder if that's kind of a trend that's emerging for him as a filmmaker. I mean, it's not a problem at this point. I don't think it will be for a long time, but you do wonder at some point if it becomes more difficult for Spielberg to get a movie off the ground at any point, unless someone tells him, like, hey, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to make $100 million off of this movie. You know, I don't know if we're going to be able to make a profit off of the idea you're suggesting, even if you might make a really good movie.
Well, so it sounds like you think that he's made the Bridge of Spies of children's movies.
Kind of. I trust that it will be good, but I don't know. I don't feel at all confident that this movie is going to be financially successful.
I'm optimistic just based on all the magic and effects from the trailer that I think that it will have appeal to kids. So we'll see. You know, I'm just saying that and maybe I'll love this movie. Hopefully I will. But my initial reaction is it seems like I would have preferred for them to go one way or the other. If he said he's just going to make a mocap CGI of BFG, I would have been all for that. That would have been fine. But if he had made a more realistic, rooted in reality version of the story, I would have been even more for that. And it looks like we've got a sort of a mixture of the two, where you have obviously CGI and composited characters, interacting with supposedly real human environments. But we'll see. Again, that's just I literally saw this for the first time like 10 minutes ago, and I'm excited. Regardless, I'm excited, and I'll be there on the first day.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see it. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I didn't have any attachment to this book, you know, growing up. So it's basically new material for me. But, you know, I think, is it Mark Rylance is the main giant? Yeah, you can tell. You can tell from his face.
Totally.
So I think that's kind of cool, and I mean, the thing that I think I get the impression watching this trailer that, you know, I'm looking forward to is I know Spielberg is so good at those big action set pieces, and I feel like there's a lot of room for him to play with that. So I'm excited to see what he brings in that department, and we'll see what else comes out of it. I'm real excited to see him make a big budget, mainstream, you know, attempt at a blockbuster again. And I think he's trying to do that with this Ready Player One down the road. But, I mean, he's made some curious choices leading up to that.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks for doing this. And, you know, that makes two movies in 2016. You're definitely not going to see the BFG and Hardcore Henry.
At least one of them. Definitely have a better chance of seeing BFG, I can tell you that.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.
Yeah, I don't. So what happened in the middle of it? Did you just not?
It sounded like you dropped your phone in a toilet and flushed it. So I don't know.
Was it possibly just wind? Has it sounded windy the entire time?
I don't. Not really on my end. I mean, there's some traffic noise, but not really. Yeah, we'll see.
I'm downtown. Might have been that homeless person taking a piss in the tunnel next to me.